country. It's time to dance.
Buckins for three. Got it.
From Shanahan again. She scores.
Ace Cowens, top right corner, with half a second to go, and the Cats win.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Catamount Insider. It is the first episode of a new year. So great to be bringing it to you and talking to you. I am your host, Brian McLaughlin. I'll have the entirety of our Catamount Insider season on the horizon. Very excited to be talking to you live on this Saturday morning. But if you're not listening live, you might be a bit confused. You can now check out all of our Catamount Insider episodes live on your favorite podcast platform. That includes Apple Podcasts, CastBox, iHeart, TuneIn, and Spotify. So if you want to listen on your favorite podcast platform, you can't listen live every week, we are going to be bringing you the episodes on your favorite podcast platform. It's going to be a very exciting addition to our production this year. We've got a great episode ahead. First up, we're going to be joined by senior midfielder on the men's soccer team, Connor Thompson. The men's soccer team with 4 wins in 9 games, 4 draws, which has been, as you'll hear from Connor, maybe a bit disappointing based on the early season expectations, but still a very good start to the season for the men's soccer team. I ask Connor all about that, and the senior who's really having a breakout year in Thompson scoring his first career goal is a big topic of our conversation. Then I'm joined by Kate Pfeiffer, head coach of the UVM field hockey team. They are in the midst of a really good stretch after a bumpy start to the year on the road. I get all of the answers from Coach Pfeiffer about everything around her team, talk about some of her star players and what it's like being in kind of an up and down start to the year, but she's as positive as ever and feels like her squad's in a great place at the start of the year. It's been an excellent start all around Catamount country. Most recently, the women's soccer team picked up a big win on Thursday against NJIT to get their first America East win of the season. Also, great starts to the likes of swimming and diving, cross countries in action. We've got fall sports going around with lacrosse having some fall scrimmages. Ice hockey's getting started this weekend, and basketball season is not far away. So whatever your favorite Catamount sport is, you know we're going to be covering it right here on Catamount Insider. I hope you'll enjoy what will be extensive coverage throughout the year. We're going to take a quick break. Connor Thompson sits down for our first interview of the season when we return. This is Catamount Insider. Welcome back to Catamount Insider. I'm now joined by senior midfielder on the UVM men's soccer team. Connor Thompson's here with us. Connor, thanks so much for joining the show. How are you today?
I'm really good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Excited to have you. Excited to talk about your season so far, the team's season so far. So let's just start there. Give me an assessment. You're 1 game into conference play. You've got a big road trip coming up this weekend. Where does it feel like this season's at for the team? And how would you kind of look back on the first half of it overall?
Yeah, it's been all right. Not our best start. I think some of the results kind of got away from us. But I think we're in an all right spot. We know what we need to do the rest of the season. And yeah, conference play has just started, which is good. And all the boys are, you know, gearing up for the games. And but yeah, the results are not exactly what we hoped for. But like I said, like, we know exactly what we need to do the rest of the season. And, you know, we're looking at this next game, UAlbany.
I'm so fascinated just by the expectations around you guys that you have, and I can feel it when I watch your games. For those listening, this team has 4 wins, only 1 loss and 4 ties. Only 1 loss in 9 games seems good, but you mentioned it, just not quite where you want to be. What has maybe been missing? What does it just feel like? Because I think watching you guys, it feels like you're close to getting to that next level, right? But just what has maybe held you guys back a touch?
Yeah, honestly, this is playing here for 4 years. This has been one of the most talented teams I think we've had. But yeah, we just haven't been able to get the right results. I mean, it's true we only have 1 loss, but four draws is not the best. And we definitely feel like we could have got a couple of those, you know, a couple back and a couple wins there. But yeah, it's just we've been playing good, but it's just we need to kind of get the mentality piece of it now. Again, like I said, really talented team, and we've been playing good footy, but we just need to get over that hump kind of and start winning these games.
Let's talk about these last two ties then specifically. UNH, the big rival to open conference play. I know you have kind of a specific connection in some ways to UNH, growing up playing for Seacoast United, which is not far from there. Walk me through that game. It's a close one from start to finish, and they end up scoring late to tie it. I know that's a really frustrating result for you guys, and you wanted to come away with a win. But when you look back at that game, what stands out to you?
Yeah, UNH is definitely our biggest rivals, and we were all really pumped up for that game. And it was great to be 1-0 up for most of the game. It just kind of got away from us for a second. We switched off a little bit, and they got the tying goal. It's just a tough, when you look back at it, it's just really tough. We had the win in our grasp, but we just kind of let go a bit. But yeah, it was a tough game. I mean, they're a good team, but I just wish we had that one back.
And then UMass, most recently, you score your first career goal, which we're going to talk about that in a minute. I'm really excited to chat with you about that play specifically and your individual play overall this season. But you go down 2-0 early. You come back to tie 2-2. Second half where you guys dominate the run of play and the chances you created were excellent. But again, I know you guys wanted to find a way to win that match. How do you kind of assess a game like that where it would have been going down 2-0 easy to end up just kind of not coming back and losing the game? You find a way to get a result, but not quite the result you were after pregame, I'm sure.
Yeah. Tough game, tough start. We definitely didn't execute the way we wanted to start the game. And I don't know, we just kind of came out flat a bit. But yeah, it was good to get the goal to make it 2-1 and find the goal in the second half to make it 2-2. And we just felt like we had one more in us, but it just didn't come out the way we wanted. But yeah, it's a good team. They have a really good game plan, and kudos to the coach. Like they all buy into what they're doing, but it's still like kind of got away from us a bit, and just wish we had that one back.
So let's talk a little bit about your goal. You score with only a few minutes left in the first half. What did that do to the halftime energy, and what did it do to feel like it did seem like something was able to switch at that point once you scored and you guys, I felt like the bench was rejuvenated and you could just kind of feel it. Did you feel that out on the field after you put that one away?
Yeah, I think so. I just wanted to get the boys going again, like letting everyone know that we can come back in this game. I at halftime we all were on the same page. Hey, we need to start second half out with some fire and come back and get this win, and just wasn't there. But yeah, I definitely think the goal helped us, you know, with that.
Walk me through the play. What did you see?
Well, I passed the ball wide, and Sydney just tried to have him isolate because he's our best 1v1 attacker, and put in a good cross and just kind of a lucky deflection, and it was laying right out there for me, and I had to put it away.
Once it hits the back of the net, what are you thinking? What are you feeling?
I honestly was pretty mad because we were down, so I wasn't really like thinking too much, but no, it felt really nice that it hit the back of the net. It just felt really sweet, and I was just really glad to make an impact for the team. And yeah,
you had to wait a long time for your first Catamount career goal. Did it feel good to just, I'm sure, all right, this is done and I finally got one?
Yeah, no, it definitely did. I scored not in the regular season, but I scored in the spring, so that honestly helped. But yeah, getting the first regular season goal is really, really nice and felt really good.
You've had a great breakout year this season in particular, and the goal, of course, you scored, but throughout your career, you haven't always had the most minutes and been on some really talented teams that have made big runs. What's that been like throughout your career to kind of have to take a back seat in some moments and I know be a big part of the team, but not necessarily be the biggest contributor on the field?
Yeah, no, it's definitely been a little bit tough for me personally. I've been on so many great teams and kind of struggled to find some minutes. In my UVM career, I've had a couple injuries, a couple surgeries as well that have kept me out of seasons, like my junior year season. I medical redshirted, and yeah, I'm not gonna lie, it's been pretty tough. But I've been on these great teams and enjoyed these great runs with my best friends, my brothers, and it's been really fun. But it's really nice this year to finally get a bit of a role and start to make an impact, and I really enjoy it, and I hope I can keep continuing to make an impact.
Was it hard to stay patient those first few years when you weren't breaking through, you weren't seeing the field as much as you might want? Was it difficult during the season, even though the team's winning? I'm sure you want to be out there contributing.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It was very difficult for me. Like seeing my team do well, but maybe it's not because of me. I mean, I can't say that because in practice, you know, right. I'm always, you know, sure. with the team, but yeah, it's tough. I think any player would say that, you know, kind of sitting on the bench, but yeah, being a part of those teams, it's definitely helped me grow as a player and even a person. And I've been happy to be on those teams and now again, making an impact. And I hope I can continue to make an impact.
How rewarding has this year then been to see so much time and to make obviously contributions to goals with a couple of assists and scoring your first, but also just to be out there for significant minutes in big games? That has to be pretty satisfying for you.
Oh yeah, it's been so rewarding. It's what I've been waiting for and what I've been working towards, and I'm happy I could get out there with the boys. And I'm telling you, it's the best feeling when the team scores and you're on the field for it. And wow, it's a different type of feeling. I can't even lie.
So it's interesting then. I want to ask you about kind of those days when you weren't playing. Do you think those days when you're watching so much soccer from this team, do you think that helps you in some ways? I know, of course, you'd rather be out there, but take me inside that viewpoint that you had over those years watching so many talented players. And how do you think that maybe has impacted you and impacted then your play on the field?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've seen so many great players. I've been on this team for 4 years, and so many amazing players have gone through this program, and I've seen what Dow has done with the team, and I understand the vision, and it's helped me so much as a player, honestly. Players like Alex Nagy, Joe Morrison back in the day, and just really, really talented players, and just I've been so lucky to been able to watch them on the field mm-hmm. do so well in their college careers, and I've tried to take that and kind of use it in my own.
Let's talk about what's kind of coming up next and look forward for this year's team. Obviously, conference play, that's the part of the season that most people would tell you that's what really matters. Going on the road this weekend, what's the focus of the group like, and what is kind of the messaging in practice following the draw with UMass? How are you guys trying to prepare for another conference matchup Saturday?
Yeah, I think the whole team is on the same page. We just need to lock in for Albany, and that's all mm-hmm. we're thinking about right now. Just going on the road, it's going to be tough, but we know exactly what we need to do. And you know, in the past years, Albany's been a bit of a rough game for us, but you know what, like, we're ready and we're locked in, and we know exactly what we need to do, and we're all really excited to get on the road and, you know, beat Albany.
There are a lot of newcomers to this year's group. Many of them, though, are veterans and transfers who are coming from other schools or from other countries in many instances, who have played a lot of soccer. How has everybody come together, and you as one of the veterans, what have you done to try to make these new guys feel comfortable, and especially with so many of them stepping right onto the field and playing in their first year at the program?
Yeah, we've had a lot of new guys this year, especially internationals, and honestly, they've come in right away, and they're all very friendly, and we've become brothers like in a quick month. Yeah. You know, preseason really helped, and Jay Peak just getting to know one another. But yeah, it's been really good, and I honestly, in the locker room, I look at every guy, and I can just sit and have a 10-minute conversation with each person, and mm-hmm. and I just really enjoy everyone's company, and I think every single person on the team would say the same.
We talked earlier about some of the kind of expectations that lead you to say disappointing results. Where do you try to meet those expectations? How are you guys going to try to meet those expectations throughout the rest of this season? And I think try to play at that high level you want to attain. I'm curious just about how you're going to get there and what the things are that you can do to find the next gear.
Yeah, I think what we got to do is just look at every game one by one, and just try and stack some wins up and get the season kind of rolling again. I mean, we went on a little bit of a stretch there, and now we've cooled off a bit with a couple draws, but just get on another roll and just look to the next game. Albany is our next game, and we just got to stay locked in on that, and I think we'll be fine, and everyone's not down in the dumps. I mean, everyone's very positive and ready to see what's next.
Yeah, so tell me about your coaches. You mentioned Rob Dow. He's obviously been very successful in his time here, but I know and I hear Brad Cole a lot, associate head coach, communicating during games. What is their dynamic like, the two of them together? And then what is your relationship like with those guys, whether it's on the field, off the field? Tell me about that dynamic.
Yeah, honestly, really professional, great coaches. Rob, 4 years I've had him, and we've built a really strong relationship on the field and off the field. I mean, just I can't say anything bad about Rob. The vision he's had and what he's done with this program, I truly see it, and I think we just got to lock in on that. And Brad coming in these past 2 years has been absolutely amazing. The tactics side of things and also just the way he is as a person and a coach is just really unbelievable. And I've just, their dynamic is really nice, and I'm just so happy to have these great coaches on our side.
How long have you known Max Murray?
Almost my whole life, yeah. I'd say, since I was probably 6 or 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what was that like growing up around Max, whether, I don't know if you guys were friends or not, but you knew of each other at least, and I know you ended up playing a lot of soccer together in those early days. What was Max like as a kid, and I guess what was that like with the two of you guys?
Oh, it's really, really funny how we both ended up at UVM.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of cool. Two kids from Kennebunkport. He's from Kennebunkport, but
okay, close enough.
Yeah, no, we were honestly really good friends. Growing up through high school and even middle school, we once in a while played on the same club team and Seacoast a couple games here and there.
Sure.
But yeah, we were really close. Played FIFA all the time together and stuff like that. Always trained together, and it's just really cool how we both ended up at the same college. And Yeah,
I was going to ask you, obviously, you did play in that same club, Seacoast, but then I wasn't sure if you came to the same college because of each other or knew that you were both going to do that or what, but it is kind of funny that you both ended up here and are now a big part of this year's squad.
Yeah. No, it wasn't because of Max, okay. I'll tell you that. It was definitely because of the school. And,
yeah.
And obviously Max was, I saw him.
To know somebody.
Exactly, right? Exactly. I had a nice face to see in the locker room, but yeah, no, it's just really, really funny how it turned out and just really cool. And I'm glad to have him as a teammate.
We mentioned it earlier. There's some familiarity with the UNH squad. I feel like every time I look at their roster, it's Seacoast United, Seacoast United, Seacoast United. Is that something that you were aware of when you were playing for Seacoast? Did you ever consider going to UNH? I'm just kind of curious about what that dynamic's like with a kind of clear connection between a club and a school like that.
Yeah, I was definitely looking at UNH. Seacoast does have a very strong connection to UNH, and the coach and the former coach knew a lot of the Seacoast coaches that coached me. And yeah, I was definitely looking at UNH, but UVM kind of came in my sights, and I wanted to kind of not be different,
sure,
but kind of be different than a lot of the Seacoast guys going to UNH. And I felt like it would kind of be cool going to their rivals.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's just kind of how I felt. Just I kind of wanted to be a little bit different in that aspect.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes plenty of sense. So let's just kind of wrap up with, I want to ask you a couple on-field type of questions. You play in that attacking midfield where I feel like there are so many options for you guys, whether it's players like you who have been mostly coming off the bench or in the starting lineup. What's that like competing with those guys, but then playing with those guys? And how has that been throughout the year? As I'm sure you've played with, feels like 5, 6, 7, 8 different guys on the field in that kind of attacking group all at different times.
Yeah, no, it's really good. And we've made a couple changes to our formation here and there and our tactics going forward. And yeah, when you get on the ball, you look up and you see a bunch of different guys and you have so many options, and every player you're looking at is very talented, and you know they can hold on to the ball, set the ball back, and you just feel comfortable on the field, and you look around and you look at your teammates and you just realize that these guys can do a job, and you know, you just feel really comfortable, and I'm really glad they're on my team.
Does it feel like Yaniv Bazzini's getting a lot of attention? Because when I watch the games, it feels like defenses are sending their two center backs kind of wherever he goes. How are you guys trying to take advantage of somebody who's been obviously such a dynamic goal scorer throughout his Vermont career and elsewhere, but also just trying to assess how are defenses trying to take him away?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure a lot of schools have looked at Yaniv scoring his goal tallies the past years, even Vermont Green too. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he's such a great player, and definitely they're looking to stop him. But I would say it's a tough one.
That's okay. I mean, I'm just kind of curious about, like, what, not necessarily what you guys are trying to do to get him going, but, like, how can you try to keep trying to find him in different ways and just different ways you guys can utilize all the different pieces you have together, I guess, is what I'm curious about.
Yeah. No, he's definitely, he hasn't been on the score sheet, right. which sucks for him and the team, but we know what he can do, and he's going to be there when we need him, and we know we can rely on him too. He's such a talented player, and he's going to find his form very soon, and yeah. he's a really positive guy, yeah. and he's not down in the dumps.
That's for sure.
He's definitely going to come back with yeah. a vengeance. So
how excited are you guys to hopefully be getting Nick Lockerman and Adrian Schultz-Solano back from injury? Those are two such big parts of last year's team, and Adrian's been here with you for a long time. How hopeful are you to be getting those guys back at some point to your lineup?
Oh, very, very hopeful. Very, we'll be very happy when they come back. They're actually two very good friends of mine.
Yeah.
Been with Adu for 4 years now, and such an amazing player. I can't say enough about him, and Locke too. He suffered a weird injury, and it sucks seeing them be out, because they would totally make an impact mm-hmm. on the field, and I just can't wait to have them back.
What does Adu do that makes him so valuable? Because everybody always says that, and obviously you watch him play, he's a part of so much. What do you see from him that makes him such a unique and special player?
He's just an absolute warrior, and he's a leader on the field. He leads by example, and he's just everywhere on the field. And he also has a bit of class to him too when the ball comes to him. And he's just a pure warrior that fights for the team, and just a great teammate and a great captain.
What are you most excited for throughout the stretch run of the season?
I'm excited to get on a roll and start kicking again. Results will come, and I'm just really excited just to get on the roll.
He's Connor Thompson of the men's soccer team. Connor, thanks so much for joining us. Thank you. Appreciate you taking the time, and good luck the rest of the year.
Thanks for having me.
A big thank you again to Connor Thompson for joining our first show of the year. It was great to chat with him, and I really wanted to sit down with a player who's in the midst of a breakout season. He talked about the difficult path that he's been on over his Catamount career, dealing with injuries, backing up some star players, but now firmly in the mix in this Catamount side that are looking to pick up a win today against UAlbany. You can check that one out on ESPN+, as the Catamounts are after their first America East win of the season, trying to stay unbeaten. They still haven't lost since their first game of the season, but you heard it from Connor. That is not up to the expectations of this team. So I'm excited to tune in to watch that one down at UAlbany. Stay with us. We've got more to come as Kate Pfeiffer, head coach of the Vermont field hockey team, joins the show when we return. You're listening to Catamount Insider. Welcome back to Catamount Insider, now joined by Kate Pfeiffer, the head coach of the field hockey team here at UVM. Coach, thanks so much for joining the show. Thanks again for stepping in. How are you today, and how's the year been going so far for you?
Thanks, Brian. It's great to be here. Always a pleasure to talk with you and about our great athletes in Catamount country. The year's been great. I can't believe we're in October already. It's going quickly, but we've had a fun season so far. Some results that we wish had gone differently, but overall really good growth for the team. Yeah. And we're really looking forward to getting into the heart of our conference play.
So let's kind of rewind to start, I guess. You start with this big road trip to open the year, and it's a couple of tough losses, and you play a ranked team in Rutgers in there as well. Walk me through that road trip and what you felt like you were able to learn about the team in what was a rough start to the year as far as wins and losses, but like you said, you've seen a lot of growth since then.
Yeah, I think my goal is always to challenge the group early on. And so, having those two road weekends, I was actually really looking forward to getting the team off campus and connecting, because we spend the majority of our preseason, we're really here, whereas the soccers might head off campus for a little bit. We have to train on a really particular surface, so yeah. We stay right here and we spend, those 2.5 weeks here on campus. So it was nice in terms of the group formation to get away and travel a little bit, spend that, 7 hours on the bus down to Pennsylvania. You learn a lot about each other through those moments, and I think they really enjoyed that time together as a team. You know, we knew that the freshmen coming in, we'd be relying on some of them this season in specific roles. And so, you know, just getting them acclimated to the team and the way we do things when we're on the road was also really important. Sure. And I think, you know, when we got to Lafayette, we knew that that was going to be a challenging game. It was one that was pretty physical. And I think while we were prepared for it, we didn't sort of manage some of the things that happened in the match as well as we could have. And I think it was a really good learning moment for us. I was hoping that that was going to be a win to start the season, of course. Yeah. And then heading in, you know, on Sunday to that challenging opponent in Rutgers. But it didn't go our way. And I was really happy with the team, the way the team responded from Friday to Sunday. I think the resiliency that they showed from taking that loss and then being able to take on a tough opponent spoke volumes to me. And I think we played some of our best possession hockey against Rutgers, some of the best possession we've played early in a season, I'd say. Yeah. So that was really great to see. I thought our ball speed was excellent. You know, their special teams proved to be the difference against us. But I thought we really held our own. And yeah, it was a great overall experience that first weekend. Then we, of course, we head on the road again for weekend two, and yeah, we're flying out to Michigan, and I think the team was in a place where they were ready to get that first win. We all were for the season, and we had a tough game against Michigan State. You know, playing them at home, I think it was their home opener, and you know, it was a pretty, again, physical match, but one that we really held our own. And once again, we were pretty even in terms of possession and opportunities that we had. And it was just sort of that finishing touch in either circle that we were missing. So, you know, heading into the Ohio U game, everybody was feeling really confident that this was a game that we were going to take the result on. And, you know, I think the consensus at the end of it was we played a little bit too conservatively, a little bit more not to lose than to win. And we had a tough moment at the about the midway point through the fourth quarter too, and our goalkeeper actually she had an incident where she passed out in net on the field. And it was a pretty shocking moment, I think, for everybody around, and obviously a scary one as a coach to see one of your athletes or any athlete in that moment you know, have an injury of any kind. And I think it really impacted things during the game. You know, it certainly was something that fortunately for both Marla and for the team, it's proved to be a moment of growth, I think, that it's provided us. Yeah. They really came together after that. And it sort of was one of those moments where you know, take a step back, you zoom out and say, wow, like, we're all really working toward this win, but there's bigger things to think about. And I think it gave everybody a lot of perspective and just allowed us to be a lot more present moment to moment instead of being so concerned with the record itself.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite the start to the year, as you just kind of summarized. Yeah. So then how satisfying was it to get back home and you open your home schedule with a couple of wins? I'm sure that had to be, in particular, a great feeling. You shut out Wagner in what felt like a really complete performance, and then an overtime win against UC Davis to start conference play. I have to imagine after that road, the two road weekends to start the year, had to be great to be back on your home surface and to pick up a couple of W's in there.
Definitely. You know, it made me think again about, you know, starting our home opener and our home slate a little bit sooner in the season. Hindsight's 2020. But I think it was fantastic to be able to be back at home on our pitch where, you know, we had our home crowd, and it was wonderful, you know, to get that shutout against Wagner. And as you say, a really complete performance was something we'd been searching for, and kind of, you know, seeing us play a great half or a great three quarters. And it was really a four quarter performance front to back. And it was really encouraging. And then I think it gave us the steam we needed to go into conference play with the confidence and the will to change the results. Right. And we had that overtime against Ohio U that we couldn't quite close. And so taking UC Davis into overtime, you know, it was a thought in my mind, how are we going to respond in this moment? Yeah. But just looking at the group, looking in their eyes as we were getting prepared to take the pitch for that that extra period, I really could feel it, that they were ready to make a change and make it happen. The self-confidence was really there, which was great.
I want to ask you about kind of the America East in general. You lost some of the teams in it this year with college sports kind of being quite chaotic and all these conferences shifting around, and you guys are impacted in that a couple of teams, Stanford and Cal, go to the ACC after they'd been in the America East. How has that impacted you? And it's a shorter conference play this year, of course. There are just fewer games. What are your thoughts on that in general and just having fewer opportunities in that way to play conference opponents this season?
Yeah, it's been an interesting experience for me having been part of the league, you know, before the West Coast sort of presence came into play. And, you know, I think there's a sentiment that we lost sort of like the core America East schools and the tradition of success that, those schools were having. When we brought in Stanford and Cal in particular, you know, they're funded in a way that, you know, is really challenging to compete with. And I think they've also done a fantastic job competing with the things they're up against in terms of having to travel pretty much for their entire season. So, you know, it was an interesting thing. And I think the general consensus and my feeling certainly is that it was never a true league when we're not playing each other in the regular season. It's really, you know, just at the end of the season when they first came into the mix. And then when they started to play on the East Coast, it was wonderful for us because we had those extra home games. You know, we're certainly missing those two extra home games that we'd have, but that's a tough thing on their side, you know, and you look at it on the flip side of things. So I think it wasn't a sustainable thing overall, but it was something that, you know, gave the conference some added attractiveness, I think, in recruiting and, you know, just other areas. And it was an exciting time, I think, for the league. It's nice to be a desirable league that teams want to join if they have the opportunity to. So, but now, you know, where we are with UC Davis still an affiliate member and the core of sort of membership really elevating, I think that's exciting to see. You know, Albany's ranked quite highly this year again, deservedly so. And I think the other teams in the league are continuing to elevate as well. So UNH is having a fantastic season. Lowell's going to be a huge contender. Maine obviously gave us a run for our money. So it's a challenging league, and I think it's fun to kind of get back to the core.
But you now have some extra time off. They're kind of in a bye week here. You have Dartmouth this weekend, but no conference games for about 2 weeks. Are you able to use that time to work on things? Is that something that you guys have been able to take advantage of, not playing twice every weekend? Now it's a little bit more, I'd imagine, time for some practice and time to iron out some of the things you want to work on.
It's been really helpful. You know, the idea that we can take a one-game week this week, non-league game with Dartmouth, and exactly kind of fine-tune, recalibrate a little bit, give the student-athletes some time to take care of school when school is kind of at its height in the mid-semester period here. It's a helpful thing for everyone to sort of just get grounded again and get prepared for what is, I think, the middle part or heart of our conference season, which is really going to determine what happens in postseason.
Coming off a really good performance against Stonehill, you score 5 goals and another shutout win. What did you feel like worked well in that matchup, and how do you try to kind of build off of those good moments?
I was really proud of the way the team came out ready to go and just firing right from the start. So, you know, something we've been working on is just trying to get into our attacking circle in the first 2 minutes of the match, making something happen, putting the opponent on their heels. And I think they did a great job with that against Stonehill. And not just in the first 2 minutes of the match, but the other sort of break points where, you know, you're starting the next quarter or we're closing out a quarter, you know, really sort of paying attention to those important moments that can change the momentum pretty quickly in a match or set the tone. So I was proud of the way they did that and just converting on some field goals. You know, our corner unit, we've been struggling a little bit to convert where that's been a real strong point in the past. It's been a little bit more challenging this year, just finding a rhythm with it. But with that, it's important that the team can feel some confidence in scoring field goals. And the way they were connecting, especially with some small game and rebound opportunities inside that close range to the net, was really impressive to me.
Yeah. I want to transition to ask you about a couple individuals who are a big part of your team. Lota Contors has played some center back. She's played some forward. How do you try to find the best spot for Lota, a talented player who clearly can play all over, but how do you try to get the best out of someone who is so versatile like that?
Yeah, it's really it's a great question. It's something that we're Still working through to some extent, but you know, I think Lotz is unique in terms of being able to switch mid-game, role to role. She feels really comfortable with having played center back for a long time growing up, and sort of learning the game from that position. She really has incredible distribution and vision of the field. And so, you know, in games where we are maybe struggling to create line-breaking passes and opportunities from the backfield, it's a no-brainer to put Lotz in the back, and she immediately can open up the field, which is a huge asset. She also is one of our best goal scorers and finishers. And so being able to use her on the front line and just create more attack opportunities is important. And, you know, she's been such a good sport about it. She's truly a team over self kind of kid. She's just all about what she can do to help the team, and full trust in what we're doing to try to get her in the right place in the right moment. So I really appreciate that as a coach.
Sophia Dries has been so productive over the years and a longtime Catamount. Another one who you've shifted around a little bit, played some center back as well as in the midfield. Hasn't necessarily put up the points that she has in years past. I know she's been a big part of that attack penalty corner unit you guys have utilized. How are you trying to, I'm sure, get her going, scoring the ball, but also knowing that she's one of your most talented players and using her where she fits best?
Yeah, it's an interesting one with Dries. She's taken on a massive leadership role as well. And I think, you know, something that I'm pretty cognizant of is how is that sort of helping her? How in moments does it become a little bit too heavy? And we need to be aware of that as coaches to make sure that she has the help she needs on the field in moments where the team needs a lift. But she's done an excellent job as a captain. And I think has really, over the years, taken on a role where she's probably playing deeper in the field than she's really meant to be. You know, we use her more from a defensive standpoint than she certainly came in thinking she might be used, I think. And she could play higher in the pitch, and we've talked about that and thrown that idea around in certain matches to use her more as an attacking center midfielder, and she's moving in training right now more into that space. So it's going to be... it's going to be pretty much a game-to-game decision, opponent by opponent. Similar to Lota, Sophia can really alter how she's playing based on the position that she's in. Yeah. And I think she's really embracing the need in moments to have her on the back line, again, with her overhead and long-range skills that she can bring to the game. She really understands the moments to use those. And we want to get her going more in the attack circle and certainly on the penalty corner, where she's so dangerous. Yeah.
Final player I just wanted to touch base with you on, Meredith Medved's a transfer in the offseason. What did you ID in the recruitment process that you felt like this would be somebody who could come in and be a good fit with your team?
Yeah, Meredith, it's a unique situation for us. We haven't really brought in a grad transfer, and she's our first, and it's been incredible. We brought her in January, as you say, and it was wonderful to have her through the spring to train with the team. Through the ID process, you know, knowing that she had played at a high quality program in Wake Forest, and you know, she hadn't gotten the experience over 4 years, but she really was an impact player in her final year and training with that program through her entire career as an undergraduate. And her athleticism, her speed, and her hockey IQ were the things that were really noticeable. I'd say those three things. And she had been training and playing as a left back at Wake Forest. And I think she has a real keen ability to play that position. We're asking her to play in a bit more of a central role right now. Mm-hmm. But you can see as soon as we move her to the left or she has opportunities up the left side, the game sort of opens up in that channel. And she can help build the ball. She's got great speed. And she can really pick and choose moments to sort of overlap and attack in a way that teams aren't expecting. So, you know, we're hoping to keep that going and make sure that she's a dangerous force coming out of the backfield even more than she has been so far in the front half of the season.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for joining the show this week. This was a treat to catch up and hear about your team. Looking forward to all the games upcoming and for a great run through conference play. Thanks so much for joining the show this week.
Thanks, Brian. Really appreciate it.
Thanks again to head coach of the Vermont field hockey team, Kate Pfeiffer, for joining Catamount Insider this week. She's been on in years past, and it's always great to catch up with Coach Pfeiffer, and she has so much insight about her team and really a good breakdown. If you've not been paying attention to the early part of the season, she really had it down game by game for you throughout that interview. So thanks again to Coach Pfeiffer for filling us in and giving us a look into some of the decisions they're making about where some of their best players are playing. I thought that was really insightful. Going to be a fun season ahead with still much of their conference play looming. They take on Dartmouth in the non-conference this weekend, 1 o'clock start time on Sunday afternoon. That is tomorrow if you're listening with us live on the podcast. We are wrapping up this opening episode of Catamount Insider when we return, so don't go anywhere. Taking a look ahead over the next week of action around Catamount country after this. We're back on Catamount Insider, winding down on this week's show. I hope you've enjoyed, whether you're listening live to us locally in Burlington with our Learfield production, or of course, you can now check us out on all of your favorite podcast platforms. So great to have many more of you getting the chance to tune in this year and can go back and check out all of our recent episodes. I'll have them all backlogged throughout the year as well. So if you missed an interview and see one that you want to take a look at, go ahead and go back through our previous episodes. This, of course, will be episode one, though, so the first episode of the season. Thanks again to our guests, Connor Thompson and Kate Pfeiffer, for joining us. Let's take a quick look ahead now to what's coming up next. I'm going to start with action on Sunday. I already told you that field hockey's taking on Dartmouth. That is tomorrow if you're listening with us live. That's on the road down in Hanover at Dartmouth, 1 o'clock start time. You can check out that action on ESPN+. The women's soccer team is at home tomorrow. They will battle with UMBC, coming off the win against NJIT for their first America East victory in the midweek. They will return to action on noon. I'll have the broadcast for you once again on ESPN+. And the men's ice hockey team gets their season rolling. It is not an official regular season game, but they have an exhibition with McGill coming down from Montreal Sunday at 4 o'clock in Gutterson Fieldhouse for the first time this season. In the midweek, men's soccer takes on nationally ranked UConn on Tuesday, 6 o'clock start time for Rob Dow and Connor Thompson. Then on Wednesday is the men's women basketball season ticket holder event. So basketball season looming, that's coming up at the end of the month. That season ticket holder event is for any season ticket holder to pick up their season tickets and watch some exhibition action as both men's and women's basketball have an inter-squad scrimmage on Wednesday. Then next weekend, Friday, action for the field hockey team as they travel to New Hampshire. Another road game with a 2 o'clock start time for Coach Pfeiffer and her crew. Then it is the start of the regular season for women's ice hockey and the men's ice hockey team. Women's ice hockey takes on Merrimack in Gutterson Fieldhouse on Friday at 6 and then Saturday at 3. The men's ice hockey team are traveling on the road at St. Thomas with Friday start time of 8 p.m. Eastern and Saturday puck drop at 7 for men's ice hockey. And that's going to do it for all of the action over the next week around Burlington. Thank you, everybody, who checked out this week's episode and stayed with me through the entirety. Go ahead and go back and listen to those interviews again with Connor Thompson and Kate Pfeiffer. Maybe even leave us a review on whatever your favorite podcast platform is. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you at the same time in the same place next week. As always, 9 a.m. on Saturdays locally or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. I'm Brian McLaughlin. This has been Catamount Insider.